You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We're going to conclude this hour with a discussion of a religious issue in the United States regarding religion and politics, the practice of contraceptive use and their availability in pharmacies. And as part of healthcare coverage is suddenly a question of religious freedom and government restriction on religious practice. Following on the strong protests of religious groups regarding the Obama administration's requirements that religious employers offer workers coverage for contraceptive use, a Senate vote this week will try to repeal that. And in Tacoma, Washington, a federal judge has ruled unconstitutional a law in that state which requires pharmacies to offer emergency contraceptives like Plan B, even if doing so contradicted the pharmacist's moral or religious convictions.
We didn't originally choose to get involved with this battle. We were forced into this battle. We were forced with being able to, having to violate our religious beliefs or close our pharmacy. And neither one was a good option for us.
That's the voice of Kevin Storman, owner of Ralph's Thriftway, plaintiff in the Washington State court case. Let's explore this issue. Joining us is Gloria Felt, former president of Planned Parenthood and author of No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power. Gloria, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Also with us is Eric Niffen. He's a legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, who helped represent the plaintiffs in that Tacoma, Washington case. Eric, do I have your name right? Niffen or Knifen?
Niffen. Niffen. Good morning.
Eric, let me begin with you. There's a narrowness to this ruling that I think we should explore for a moment. You believe, and you argued successfully, that this law singled out individuals who had a particular issue of conscience associated with the sale of contraceptives. Explain.
Yes. Judge Layton said that we had presented reams of evidence that this rule was allowing pharmacists and pharmacies to fail to stock and dispense emergency contraceptives for a wide variety of reasons. And in effect, the rule was only working to force religious pharmacists to do something they didn't want to do.
All right, so let's explore this. So if I was just a pharmacist who chose not to carry condoms and other contraceptives, but I just didn't have them, and somebody came in and said, I want to buy them, and I said, well, we don't have them here. We just have them somewhere else. Under this law, that would be perfectly fine, but if for some reason my religion was involved in my decision, then it was illegal.
That's right. That's the way the Board of Pharmacy interpreted and applied the rule. So if you had a niche pharmacy, if you wanted to serve only oncology patients, if you thought certain drugs were going to attract crime, if you thought certain drugs were too expensive, if you thought dispensing the drugs was too much of a hassle, that was all okay with the Board of Pharmacy. But if you didn't want to stock or deliver it for religious reasons, that was what they had a problem with.
All right, Eric, let me push back, though, a little bit on another aspect of this. He's a legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, helped to represent the plaintiffs in this Tacoma, Washington case. Isn't it a bit of a problem when individuals begin to say, my religious practice actually extends to the pharmacy where I work? It's not about the church anymore. I'm walking down the street. Suddenly my religious practice, if somebody impedes that, I can go to court and sue. Is that an appropriate definition of religious practice?
What is going on here is the state said it had an access problem, and it was trying to create this rule in order to advance a supposed access problem, but that access problem didn't really exist. And so the whole notion that religious people are somehow serving as gateways or somehow blocking access just wasn't true at all. The state, despite hundreds of thousands of pages and complaints that were registered mostly by Planned Parenthood, there was not a single incident, not a single example in all of Washington State where some—
All right, that's Eric Niffen, legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. We're having a little problem with his Skype connection. Let's bring in Gloria Felt, former president of Planned Parenthood. She's the author of No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power. So if I'm a pharmacist and I just don't want to stock contraceptives, that's one thing. But if I don't want to do it for religious reasons, do those two categories affect you in any way?
I think that's really a rather spurious argument. I don't think it really works that way. And I think, as the Hastings Institute, an ethical think tank that has been sort of the gold standard of ethics in medical care and which extends to pharmaceutical care for many years, what they have always said is that these kinds of issues affect other individuals besides yourself. And so for a professional in a medical field, you know, you have to take into account that your actions don't just affect yourself. They affect a lot of other people. For example, parents who don't want to vaccinate their children. It does affect other people. There have been many different rulings on that effect. But in truth, what I think we need to think of first is, what about the 99% of us whose conscience says we want to use birth control? And a professional in the medical field needs to respect the patient's conscience as well.
All right. So you go into a pharmacy, though, and there is no contraceptives available, and it has no particular religious reason. Do you believe that's an infringement on your rights or women's rights?
Well, I think it's, first of all, bad professional care, bad medical care. And it, a lot depends on whether that's the only pharmacy in town. And one of the reasons for some of these laws is that very often in a rural community, for example, there may only be one pharmacy. And if that pharmacist refuses to dispense, then that woman effectively has no access.
Let's put that to Eric Niffen, legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. If an individual claiming they have the freedom to not carry certain products, say contraceptives, if that decision would amount to a net ban in that community on contraceptives in that town or county, would that constitute something that the federal judge would say, all right, that is too much, that's over the line?
Well, the thing is that the state tried really hard to show that this was a problem, if this sort of scenario existed, but it just couldn't. It did a survey.
Right, but you're dodging me. If it does exist, if that is the scenario, how do you argue?
Well, again, those facts just don't exist. You can get these drugs from clinics, from hospitals. You can get them over the internet within 24 hours. And so this idea that there is some sort of scenario in which people are blocking access just isn't true.
Although there are religious individuals, the Council of Bishops is claiming that they don't want to ever be involved in the use of dispensing contraceptives, even if it would constitute a ban on the use of contraceptives in communities. They don't make the distinction that you're making.
Well, let's just stay right here, because this is what's going on in Washington. The state survey showed that 20% of pharmacies were not carrying emergency contraceptives. Of those 20%, 9 out of 10 were not carrying them for business reasons. So if the state really wants to promote access, it needs to go after those business reasons. But the idea that you could sort of selectively burden religious people and the state can ride hard on them to advance its supposed policy interests, that's unconstitutional.
Eric Niffen, legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Is there a conflict between protecting the rights of women in the reproductive domain versus the freedom of businesses to carry whatever products they want?
Well, I think that he's right that the state should apply their laws equally to pharmacists, regardless of their reasons for not carrying emergency contraception. That's not the point here. The point is that there really is a kind of religious tyranny that's going on, that is an attempt to impose other people's religious beliefs on the majority of Americans who use contraception, including, by the way, 98% of Catholics. They can't even get their own flock to obey the kinds of restrictions that they want to other people to have to live by.
Although that would suggest that under no circumstances, if these people were allowed to have their way, would it constitute a ban on contraceptives? Women would still have access.
Well, I think what they're trying to say is that women can go someplace else. And the way the ethics of the Pharmaceutical Association has always read, it is that if a pharmacist does not wish to provide a certain medication, that pharmacist must not impose his or her religious beliefs or other beliefs or even business decisions on the patient, that pharmacist must just quietly refer the patient elsewhere, make sure that the patient has access from another source. That seems to me to be, that seems to me to be a fair kind of balance.
That's Gloria Feld. Eric Niffen, I'll give you the final word.
That's exactly what my clients wanted to do, and that's exactly what they wanted.
And you mean to refer? People would come in, they don't have contraceptives, so they would refer.
That is not happening. that is not happening. We have documented evidence that that is not happening.
All right. So the question of access versus the question of religious freedom.
No, it's definitely it's religious freedom for everyone. I want my religious freedom to be respected as well. I believe my religion tells me contraception is a moral and valuable thing.
You mean to have access to it?
To have access
right.
to
now,
it.
The use of contraceptives is not an actual religious practice in the part of you.
What I'm saying is that this has been framed as religion against access. It's really different people's belief systems. It is really religion against other people's religion or ethical values.
All right. Gloria Feldes, former president of Planned Parenthood, author of No Excuses, Nine Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power. And Eric Niffen was the legal counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, who helped represent the plaintiffs in the Tacoma, Washington case, which struck down an issue concerning religious liberty and the availability of contraceptives at pharmacies. Thanks so much to both of you.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.